Hello, folks, and welcome once again to another episode of Under Western Stars. We're out under the big pines at the old home ranch out in Doney Park, Arizona, north of Flagstaff. And I look across the yard there and I see my old hunting, camping music buddy, Ken Ralston, better known as Drywall Ken. One of my kids named him Drywall when he helped me with a remodeling project one time. Ken, welcome.
Why, thank you, Tony. And, you know, for some reason, well, at least around you and your family, that name has stuck.
Stuck
just like plaster on a wall.
Oh, Ken and I have sat around many, many campfires and back on the backside of mountains when the full moon was rising and the whippoorwills were calling and the coyotes were howling. And we've done a lot of performing together, too. Ken knows a ton of cowboy songs and cowboy poems, and he's one of my favorite reciters of cowboy poetry. I was just thinking about a little tune we used to do, Ken, called the Arkansas Traveler. How does that go?
Hey there, old timer. You lived here all your life?
No, not yet.
Noticed your corn out there is mighty little and yeller.
Well, I planted the little yeller kind.
Hey, tell me, how deep is that creek out there? Can I ford it?
Well, it only comes up to here on the ducks.
Can I take this road here to Little Rock?
I don't know why you'd want to. They got perfectly good ones there.
So tell me, where's the nearest place of business?
Oh, we just go out in the woods.
So, how did your taters turn out this year?
Oh, they didn't turn out at all. I had to dig them.
You know, I noticed your roof was leaking. How come you don't fix it?
Well, when it's raining, I can't work on it. And when it ain't raining, it don't leak.
So why don't you play the rest of that song?
The rest of it? I didn't know there was a rest of it. Well, how does it go?
Sure, it goes like this.
Arkansas Traveler dates back to the minstrel days, and a stranger wandering through the backwoods of Arkansas, and he sees an old man seated in front of a cabin.
Great. We've had some fun with that one over the years. Some of the cowboy shows that you and Bill and I used to do.
Well, Ken, you're somewhat of a rarity here in Arizona. You're a native Arizonan. Tell me about your history here.
Yeah, you could say I'm a native Arizonan, Tony. I refer to myself as Arizona dirt because both sides of my family, both my mother's and my father's side of the family, go way back. They came out in the 1870s or 80s, something like that. But yeah, it goes back. I go back quite a ways. We have relatives in Ralston scattered all over Arizona.
Have you always been interested in cowboy music and poetry?
Not really. I mean, honestly, I think you're the guy that most got me enthused about it. You and Ann Warren Miller, you know, just listening to both of you guys do this stuff, it sort of started catching and grabbing me. And then the next thing you know, I just got quite enthused about it and started learning a few songs here and there, a few poems, and used to do them at cowboy poetry gatherings and folk festivals and that kind of thing. Not so much anymore, but I still love it. I think it's just, I love the visual part of all the cowboy stuff, is it just paints wonderful images inside your mind.
What's one of your favorite songs?
Well, I think probably the song I certainly do the most, and it has that sort of pioneering element to it. It was written in the 1860s. Nobody knows who wrote this song. You hear it called a lot of stuff. Some people call it the Buffalo Skinner's Blues. Some people call it the Plains of the Buffalo, which is what I call it because I actually stole it off a bluegrass album. But it's called other things as well, The Hills of New Mexico. But nobody knows who wrote this song. And it's really a story of a young man who, I don't know, maybe he's not too far out of their equivalent of high school back in those days. And he's sitting around, he's not knowing what he's going to do. And this guy comes up to him in a bar and offers a proposition to him. And basically that's, if you listen to it, that's the basis of it. Was in the town of Jacksboro. The year was 63, when a man by the name of Frigo come stepping up to me, saying, "How you do, young feller, and how'd you like to go and spend the summer pleasant on the plains of the Buffalo?" Well, I'd been out of work right then as a drover, I did say. This going out on that Buffalo road depends upon your pay. But if you pay good wages, transportation to and fro, well, I think I might go with you to the plains of the Buffalo. Well, yes, I pay good wages and transportation due. If you'll agree to work for me until the season's through. But if you get dissatisfied and head back for your home, why's likely you will starve to death on the plains of the Buffalo. With all this flattering talking, he signed up quite a train. Some 10 or 12 in number, all able-bodied men. Our way it was a pleasant one, as westward we did go, until we reached old Foggy Creek into New Mexico. Hardships of the summer would break the strongest man. While skinning the herd of buffalo, our lives were so low. Without laws waiting to pick us off in the hills in New Mexico. Well, the working season ended, Friegel, he did say, you all have drunk too much, I owe you no more pay. But the cowboys never had heard such a thing so mean and low. So we left that drover's bones to bleed on the plains of the Buffalo.
Some of that signature Doney Park wind whistling through the bones of that fella. Yeah. What a great song that is.
Yeah, I can imagine that sort of thing happening back in those days. You know, if you know, we get kind of stuck in our own time zone, but if you try to go back and just sort of feel what it might have been like back in those days when they didn't have quite the same things we have nowadays, and I could see that happening.
Well, folks, we're here at the old Doney Park Ranch, and so we are complete with sound effects. We have dogs barking and crows commenting and the ever-present Doney Park wind. When you tune in to Under Western Stars, folks, you're getting music and stories with the hair left on. This is not for too fine and delicate a person. Ken, you know some great cowboy poems. Would you indulge me and do my favorite? I've noticed here that there have been several instances this summer of bears making their way into Flagstaff city limits looking for who knows what. But a lot of people are thinking about bears and what an encounter with a bear might be like. Now, these black bears are nothing to the side of grizzly bears, but tell us a little bit about the Bear Hunter's Bold. Where's it from?
Well, that's a S. Omar Barker poem, who is a very famous cowboy poet from New Mexico. And as it turns out, he was actually a game warden in New Mexico, believe it or not. But I'm sure this poem was inspired by his childhood over there in New Mexico. How much of it is true, I have no idea at all. But I suspect there may be some basis of truth in it. You know, they may have hunted a bear at one time or another. I don't know. And by the way, black bears are probably just as deadly as grizzlies. Certainly, if you get between a mama and a baby, that's like the absolute last thing you ever want to do out there in the forest, is get between a mother and its young. That's it, especially if it's a bear. But I can relate to this poem because I have some brothers, and we used to hunt. So that's why I learned it. Two boys, one mule, a dog, and a bear are the dramatis persona of this here affair. Now, it happened a good many years ago up where the spruce and the fir trees grow. Word had come down from the Pecos head that a good many cattle had been found dead, with broken necks and maybe backs, and at each new carcass were big bear tracks. Now, school was a wonderful place to be, but the couple of kids, my brother and me, had figured it out with logic rare, that school could wait, but not that bear. Now, our pod hunted himself right smart, so he knew the urge and he took our part. He said, you kids can make the trip, but don't get yet by a silver tip. Now, you'll have to pack the old gray mare, because she's the only pack horse I can spare. Always just a couple of kids in our early teens, so we packed some dried pork, salt and beans, couple of battered old frying pans, some flour, sugar, and a few sugans. But atop this bulky pack, there rode the two main items of this here load. two big steel bear traps just as heavy as sin to catch that old he-grizzly in. Well, there's a law these days, as you know, perhaps forbidden the taking of bears in traps, but back in those boyhood days of yore, now the bear was trapped as a predator. The old gray's colt was a yearling mule, and he'd follered along just a-acting a fool. He'd romp and frolic along the trail and sneak up on the dog and nip his tail, to which old King would turn and snarl. Between those two was a standing quarrel. Well, up near the Pecos waterhead, under a spruce we spread our bed. Somewhere off on a distant hill, we could whiff the stink of a grizzly's kill. We'd found the place for bear, all right. Too late to set our traps that night. Now, we'd both shot coyote, bobcat, and deer, but the thought of a grizzly lurking near in the timber dark as a day of doom made us long for a lighted room with old Paw close by in his rocking chair. But we'd decided to hunt that bear. So there we were in the scary dark. Fire burned down to one lone spark. And off in the distance we heard an owl. An old King voiced an occasional growl. We looked at the stars and picked out Venus. And we put our loaded gun between us. But the trail had been both long and steep. And it weren't long before we fell asleep. Now how long we slept I couldn't say, but we awoke to the sound of old King's bay. The night was too dark for our eyes to pierce, but the old dog's snarl bark sounded quite fierce. I grabbed up the gun at first alarm. We only had one bear hunting arm. Then something from the night that seemed plumb large just drove King back with a sudden charge. "It's a bear!" I hollered, and I craned my neck. "He's gonna get us just sure as heck." I won't forget to my dying day how that gun shook as I blazed away. Then to the shame of my dying fears, against the stars shone two big ears, two big mule ears, and with the coming sun we seen how a bullet had punctured one. Well, to make this boyhood bear yarn brief, we set our traps baited with beef, the fresh-killed carcass of a brindle cow. But that old grizz was wary now. He'd not come back to his last night's kill, but slaughtered another around the hill. We hunted by day, trapped by nights, but nary a silver tip came into sight. The dog and the mule kept up their row. But 3 days went by, and we was out of chow. "Tomorrow home, my brother decreed, 'cause this here bear hunting has gone to seed." But we awoke next morning to a hullabaloo that seemed to shake the woods in two. Old King yipped like a dog been hurt. "What's up?" cried Marion in sudden alert. "Ah, it's just that doggone mule you sap," and then I rolled over for another nap. But my brother grabbed up that loaded gun, left the bed at a sock foot run. Then I got up too, but not to foller, for what I seen made me feel all holler. There was that mule colt running hard, leading that bar by about a yard. Running and dogging through the aspen trees, my brother's shirt tail fanned a breeze, all not 100 yards away, and my brother's running to join the fray. "Come back," I hollered, but he heeded not. Instead, he raised the gun and shot, and that bear squalled like a hit bear will, then turned to charge. Boy, what a thrill. Well, Marion went up this handy tree, and that's when the grizzly spotted me. The last thing I seen as I turned to run was my brother once again raising that gun, and three shots rang out in the cold gray dawn, and when I'd finally come back from where I'd gone, there was old King at Valiant Bay, That bear was down, and he stayed that way. But from up in the tree, my brother says, "Go twist his tail and see if he's dead. But be ready to run just in case he's not. I haven't got another shot. There's a shell jammed in this here gun." But the bear was dead, so I didn't run. Bear hunters bold, we packed him in, and I can still see Pa's wide grin. All the kids at school was just plumb thrilled to hear about that bear we'd killed. But neither Pa nor the kids at school ever did find out who shot the mule. And that is Bear Hunter's Bold, an S. O. Mar Barker poem.
What a wonderfully constructed story.
Great images in there, isn't there?
Yeah. So, Ken, you're such an avid hunter. through the years, I've watched you hunt deer and elk and turkey and everything but possum.
I don't hunt bears, but I could if I wanted to, but I don't hunt bears. Bear, I've known some people that have hunted bears, and let me tell you, it's not one of the things you want to get out there in the woods. They're big animals, and it takes a crew of people to get one of those things out, you know.
Let's have another song, Ken. What do you got in mind?
Well, I always love the way you play Poncho and Lefty. I just like your guitar playing on Poncho and Lefty, so I kind of, just for the folks at home, I always kind of make Tony play this song for me because I so like the guitar that he does in this thing.
Oh, well, thank you. Take off, and I'll try to catch up with you.
This is a Towns Van Zandt song that I guess Willie Nelson most made it famous. A lot of people have done it, I suppose. Living on the road, my friend, gonna keep you free and clean. Now you wear your skin like iron, and your breast is all as kerosene. Weren't you mama's only boy, but her favorite one it seemed. You began to cry when you said goodbye, sank into your dreams. Poncho was a bandit boy, his horse was fast and his polished steel. He wore his gun outside his pants, rolling on his world of feet. Poncho met his match, you know, on the deserts down in Mexico. What he heard, he's dying bird. Oh, but that's the way it goes. All those fat out rallies say they could have had him any day. They only let him slip away out of kindness, I suppose. He can't sing those blues all night long like he used to. Plus a Poncho bit done sad, ended up in Lefty's mouth. The day they lay poor Poncho low, Lefty split for Ohio, where he got the bread from go. Why, there ain't nobody. All those that at Raleigh say they could have had him any day. They only let him slip away out of kindness, I suppose. Thank you.
poets tell how Poncho fell. Lefty living in a cheap hotel. Desert's quiet and Cleveland's cold. The story ends where no Poncho needs your prayers, it's true. Save a few for Lefty too. He only did what he had to do. And now he's growing. All those fed up rallies say we could have had him any day. Only let him slip away. Out of kindness, I suppose. All the Federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him go so long. Out of kindness, I suppose.
You've been listening to another episode of Under Western Stars. Our guest this time, drywall Ken Ralston, my old hunting, fishing, and music playing buddy. Ken, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for inviting me, Tony. I've had a great time here.
We might just pull together some more songs and poems for another program. Under Western Stars is supported and encouraged by the Historic Museum Club in Flagstaff, Arizona. Built in 1831, the Museum Club has stories to tell, and maybe we'll tell some of them in the future. Our engineer is Matt Sarnowski, with Greg Hales providing backup tech support also. Our theme song is Lost Indian, played by Bill Burke. Time to head back to the barn. If I don't see you in the future, I will see you in the pasture.